Hey there, welcome to the Collide Podcast. This is Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and I am so glad that you hopped on today. We are celebrating our 10-year anniversary. 10 years ago, we formed a nonprofit. We did ministry for years before that, but this is where and how we're celebrating. And so we have invited different people to come on the podcast to celebrate this birthday. And today I got to interview Kelly Hawkinson, Michelle Holiday, and Beth Henry, three women who have served on our volunteer team for altogether totaling 25 years of service. And they share their story, their perspective on what it's been like. Why do they give their time away to this mission? Why do they keep pouring out on behalf of other people? What have they learned from it? How have they grown? How has it impacted them? How have they seen God show up? I think this will inspire you wherever you're at in your life, in your desire to make a difference, in your desire to serve and see Jesus use you to do amazing things. Take a listen to this conversation. Well, guys, it's so fun to have you on the podcast today. This is a hilarious experience. I don't know what it's going to be. I mean, there's four of us on here today, Beth, Michelle, Kelly. Kelly and I are in a bathroom. Beth just had a flood. Michelle took work off early. I'm so glad we can make this happen. I'm glad you guys are here.
Fun to be here.
Okay, all of you guys, we've all served together for a lot of years, and I actually don't know how many years. So how many years have you each been on team? And we could like add it up and be like, oh, wow, that's like an adult or something.
I think it's my 8th year.
Okay. 8 years of serving with Collide. That's awesome.
I think I might be 10.
10? Okay, now we have, like, somebody who can vote. 18. Yeah. Beth?
I started in 2017.
So seven years. So now we have, you're making me do math on the fly, 25. And then I've been around since whenever it started. So we'll say 10 more years. So we have a 35-year-old in this his house on the podcast. You guys, each one of you have truly, you're volunteers. You have served. Michelle, you were on staff for a stint, but for years you've either been on staff or served, and Beth, you and Kelly have served. And I don't take that lightly. Like, you've hauled boxes and you've cleaned poop and I don't even know where to begin. But you've given countless hours of your time to this ministry. And I would love, like, it's the 10-year anniversary. So I would love to just hear, first of all, like, how did each one of you guys get involved in Collide? What made you want to be a part of it and say, yes, I want to give my time to that? Because I think it's interesting to hear, not as a sales pitch for Collide, but there are people listening who maybe they want their lives to count. They want their lives to make a difference. And sometimes there's so many opportunities, so many places you could serve. Why did you guys choose to give your time and all these years to this ministry? When you go back and you rewind to the initial, yes, I'm going to sign up to be a volunteer with Collide, what was going on for you?
I can start. I don't quite remember how I really started Collide, but I sort of stumbled into it just getting introduced to Willow through a mutual friend and just beginning to know her when things were sort of starting up. And there were lots of things to be done, and I was willing hands, and it just sort of snowballed from there. And I think my first initial interest, because, I mean, Collide has changed a lot since mm-hmm. I first began serving, but I think my initial interest was my belief in you as a leader. And I really, I don't know, I bought into that vision of just like wanting to engage with people in their hurting spots and their just give hope, offer hope. I think that a lot of things in the world today lack that. And I was really drawn to that. And it was really attractive to me. And I just wanted to jump in.
And you truly did. I remember actually you, Kelly, because I didn't know you very well. And I was in college ministry at the time and started this Clyde thing as an experiment. I didn't know it would become a thing. And I remember the first time we had 100 women coming. And, you know, now obviously we have hundreds of women coming, but the first time we had 100 women coming and I had all their names on the floor of my office and I was like trying to put them in small groups. That's back when we used to do that. And I was like trying to do name tags with their names on it, which now we don't do that, but all these things have changed. But I remember you walking in being like, how can I help? And I was just like, I don't know what to do with these 100 ladies that are about to show up. And you're like, let me help. And you got down on the floor and we're literally, mm-hmm. and I didn't even know you. And you're like,
I remember that.
How can I help? And I think that was such a powerful moment for me of like seeing someone go, how can I help? And then just getting down on the floor and doing the thing.
Well, and I think that started with my, like, when I entered into things that were uncomfortable for me because I was handwriting. I have the messiest handwriting. And now that is not polite standard at all. Like, everything is so pretty and perfect. And I was like, I used to handwrite these name tags. The standards have definitely gone up from there. So that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. How about you, Michelle?
I just remember I was looking for something to be involved in. We had moved around a lot and everywhere that we had moved, that's how I had found my community, was some kind of, you know, women's ministry. And I kept hearing about Clyde and I could never go to an event. And then finally there was an event and I went, and the whole night I was like, yes, these are my people. This is what I've been waiting for. And mm-hmm. at that event, there was a call to, if you want to be on the team, you know, fill out an application. And I was like, I want to do this. When, I don't care if I am scrubbing toilets, I will do whatever I need to do to be part of this, because it was just so authentic and real. And it just felt like a place that I wanted to be a part of.
And how many toilets have you scrubbed?
Zero. So that's good.
So much else. And in fact, I think what's really cool about your story is you signed up to volunteer and volunteered for how many years before you were on staff?
2 years before I was on staff.
2 years. And then you came on staff and you're a complete champ. And of course, now you are working a different job, but you're still so much a part of this story and this mission and this ministry, which just shows like your heart. It was never for a paycheck. It wasn't for like, this is my job. It was really like you saying, I believe in this mission and I want women to Clyde with Jesus. And you're still just pouring it out for that, which is so awesome.
Yeah, I do. I really love what we do.
Well, I love that we get to do it with you. How about you, Bester?
Well, in 2017, I had just switched churches. I've gone to my first Collide when it was at Northlake Community Church. I had a couple of friends that had gone several times and they said, you gotta go to this Collide thing. It's so awesome. You would love it. And so I went with my sister. She had just lost her husband. And like 3 weeks before that, and you guys talked about grief, and it really spoke to her. It spoke to me. And not long after that, I started going to Christ the King Church, a new church. And since I wasn't serving at Northlake anymore, I was like, okay, I'm not just a consumer. I need to find a place to serve. And so Willow, you and I went on a walk. And you kind of, you know, asked, you know, how do you think if you got involved in Collide, how you would fit in? And I was like, well, I've seen how y'all get there to and from. I think I can help with that. I think if we rent a moving truck or something, put everything in one space. So I thought, you know what? I think I prayed about it. And I went on team in 2017. And I wanted to be a part, a lot like Michelle and Kelly both, a place to serve with a community of women that wants to make a difference in women's lives. In 2018, I personally went through a difficult time and unfortunately, my marriage ended. And I didn't know whether or not God could still use me and whether or not it would be okay for me to continue to serve. And Bill was like, well, we're all a bunch of misfits, so of course you can still serve. And I think that for me, it was my community of women that loved me and supported me and was there for me and took walks with me and had coffee with me and just held me through it. And that was huge for me, because then I knew that I can do that for other women, because other women will experience what I do too, or what I did. And so I think that I was able to live what Collide's mission is, for women to find healing, you know? And so I didn't just volunteer to an organization who did it. I was able to experience it through it myself as a part of the team. And, you know, I just want to help other women be able to do the same thing. I think God is using this ministry in just an amazing way to meet women where they're at, you know, that they are loved and worthy. And I firsthand know that. And I'll always want to be, you guys will have to kick me out.
Beth, I'm so glad you just shared that. That was a vulnerable move on your part to throw in already what was going on in your life when you kind of newly started serving with Collide. But I love that you shared that, because I think a lot of times people think, oh, I can't be a part of a ministry or serve somewhere or whatever if my life isn't a certain sort of way, if it isn't perfect, if I'm not like perfect with God. I just had a conversation with a woman last week at a social event, and I've been bugging her about being on the Collide team as a volunteer for a couple of years. And she's like, I'm not strong. I'm not shy. I am shy. She's listing all these things that she's struggling with. And as we started talking, I realized, oh, wow, she's hesitating to sign up and be a part of this thing she wants to be a part of because she's second guessing herself. And so I love that you're saying, hey, we're a bunch of women who love Jesus and serve Jesus, but we're not perfect. And we have our own wounds and our own brokenness. And all of those things are very true. Mm-hmm. I think what's funny about what you said that people listening might not know is you referred to saying, oh, I could help you guys load and unload. So for those of you listening who don't know, Collide in my mind never was going to be a thing. So we had no idea when hundreds and hundreds of women started coming to our conferences that we had to keep all of the supplies in Robin, my basement. And so we would like fill up cars, right? Like fill up like 10 cars.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. You guys, I mean, it was like all like whoever was on the team, you guys would just show up with car after car after car and unload, and stuff kept coming out. And I'm like, hey, don't let that get broke, you know? And I'm just thinking, this could be so much easier. Everything was just in one thing, and we just moved
right. People
instead of what was in what car.
Was in all these who cars, took that path. And then people were tired, so they'd go home at the end of the night, and then the stuff would come back a week later or 2 weeks later, or it'd sit in our living room, so we didn't have a living room for a while because we had to move down the basement. Or, I mean, it would be in my car for weeks. I'd look like a hoarder because it was like, oh, that's a lot to unload.
Well, we would borrow things, and so it was like, oh, this is so and so's, we got to get that back to them. And like, it was like
we had no money, no resources.
Yeah.
So, Beth, you came in, and not only, you know, were you willing to help, but you're like, I'm gonna buy a trailer. And I remember being like, what? Like, who would do that? Who would be like, I'm gonna buy a trailer to haul all this conference stuff? And it's so funny because here we are 10 years down the road, and this year we're planning on hitting our like first city out of Whatcom County and going into Portland. And that's so exciting. And we're definitely going to need that trailer, Beth.
We needed a bigger trailer, so I traded it in and got a bigger trailer. We needed 8 more feet.
What do you guys think, when you think back over the course of the years that you've served, what do you feel like has impacted you most on a personal level
from the experience? for me, getting to lead the Bible studies has been the most impactful for me. I feel like when I was a young mom and I became a Christian, I feel like the communities I was in told me, and maybe that's just what I heard, but that I couldn't express any of my doubt or my questions or my brokenness or my weakness because that meant my faith wasn't big enough. And so I think I created this habit of acting in a certain way when really inside I was struggling with all these things. And so when I come to our Bible studies, I feel like the women like can just breathe because we create a space for them to come with all their questions and their doubts and their hurts and their, and we don't say we have all the answers, but we say we're willing to sit here and talk through this with you. And so we just have such rich, deep conversations in our Bible studies. And I've just seen women go from a place of thinking that they can't share those things to feeling like, yes, I can. Not only can God handle it, but these women can handle it too. And I think that's been the most impactful for me.
Yeah, it's so cool to have been able to next step these women when they come to a conference, to come to a class or a Bible study or step into our counseling program. And I know, Michelle, you've been a huge part of those next steps and our next steps program. And it is so cool too, because it's one thing to have a conference where you have 500, 700, however many people, but it's another thing to be able to sit across from women and hear their stories of pain and their baggage and their shame and their dreams and their hopes, and then to be able to like keep pointing them to Jesus and watch them take steps to keep following him. It's such a cool thing, and I love that you do that. It's very cool. How about you, Kel?
I think maybe something you were talking about the person you were trying to get on the team reminded me of something I really like about the team is it is just this conglomerate of people in tech, nurses, people who make coffee, stay-at-home moms who all come together, and we bring our little piece that I always felt like I can't do anything with this little piece. Like I'll offer it, but what good is this going to do? And when you are brave to step in, and then we all come together with these little pieces, and it makes something so beautiful. And I love what we make and how that impacts people. But I also love what it does for that woman who is like, I don't have anything to offer, and to see her flourish in this environment. And yes, we do sit in a room with people and we grieve their deepest lows, but we also celebrate the way God enters into that and the highs and the way that he answers prayers. And I love that family that we've become, and just the way that Clyde has given a platform for people that feel ill-equipped to do big things and see God working through them in that. I don't know. That's me. I love it.
When you talk about that little piece, tell us a little bit more, because I think people listening might resonate with that thing that you've shared a lot with the team over the years, that you felt like, oh, there's nothing that special about me. I don't really have anything that great to offer. What is that that like goes on in your head that you think also goes on in other women's heads when it comes to God using us to do amazing things?
Yeah, I grew up in the church, and you know, you look around and you compare your gifts with people, and I don't sing, I don't speak eloquently, I don't have a vast memorization of scripture, I'm not an eloquent prayer. All these gifts that you think, oh, God really uses those people. Mm. He can really use those people. And I didn't know what I had to offer was valuable. And I just always thought, man, if I just would have gotten that gift or that gift or that gift. And I think through Collide, God has really shown me, I think I've shared this before, but I heard God tell me, just stop telling me I made you wrong and just be who I made you to be. And I think this ministry has given me an opportunity to step out in that and use those gifts and be accepted for them, be valued for them, and see fruit for them. And I also see it in all the people around, you know, Beth is a hauler. She's a problem solver. She's, you know, and then Michelle is amazing with these women on a one-on-one. Things that I might not necessarily be good at, but we all bring those pieces and I get to see other people using their gifts too. And mm-hmm. it just shows me that there's a place for us all and mm-hmm. we'll work together. It's really beautiful. Instead of trying to be better or one up the other guy or I don't have this or I don't have that. We just value each other and what we come to the table with. And when we do that, we make beautiful things.
Very cool. Beth, how about you?
It has just been a safe haven. And seeing people who I know and who I care about have it make such an impact on their lives. By the women who, I mean, Michelle, you have the Bible studies. My mom's been a part of that. I have seen a whole different side of my mother since she started doing Bible studies with Collide. You know, my dad was a pastor and he was always my spiritual advisor, if you will. Now I've seen that my mom has become, and a lot of it was through her opening up, doing a Bible study with Collide, Michelle, that you were a part of. And so I've met this whole new person in my mother. My friend Mel, Collide has made a huge impact on her life. Michelle, Willow, you guys have invested in her in ways that I'm so incredibly grateful for. And so, I mean, these are people who I care about, who Collide has impacted so deeply, you know, and then just hundreds of women, you see it at the end of the night, you know, when we have that moment with them where we give them something for them to take away, and you just see the looks on their face of how the evening has impacted them.
If you love Collide or have been impacted by our work, then we'd love to partner with you. We rely on the generous support of our donors to fuel the life-changing work we do to create spaces for women to collide with Jesus. You can join the movement by becoming a monthly donor or making a one-time donation. Give online at wecollide.net/give or Venmo us. See the link in the show notes to give now.
One of the things that I think people don't realize that's maybe unique or different about our conferences is that they're actually put on in large part by volunteers. Whereas a lot of places you go to a conference and it was planned by the professionals. And yes, we have a staff. We have a paid staff who help. But one of the unique things we do is we invite women every single year, and you guys have been on the team for years, into this process where they say, hey, I want to grow and collide with Jesus, and I also want to be used by him to impact other women. So they sign up for this volunteer experience for over the course of 1 year, and they help put on 3 conferences. But they have this experience where we first have them collide with Jesus. So before every conference, we as a team study a passage in scripture where Jesus runs into wounded people. And as he heals them, he starts stitching up us a little bit and mending us up, and we learn about him. And then we 2 weeks later brainstorm, how do we teach this message to other women? And we come up with all these crazy ideas, and then we never meet again. Of course, we have these sub teams that go off and they run in their areas, but then we put on a conference, and it's very much led by volunteers on this team. And it's an overflow of them colliding with Jesus first. When I say all that, I know you guys are very aware of that, but I say all that because people listening don't know that, because we don't tell this story very often. What is special about that to you guys? Because we could just go on sort of like, you know, press play, and it's like the paid staff people are planning the events, but instead they're actually planned at Collide by people who are experiencing Jesus and then getting to be used by Jesus to impact other people. What do you guys think is cool about that or unique? Or maybe you hate it. I don't know. No, I know you like it. That's why you're on the team. But what is special about that?
What I think is cool is that sometimes we don't even know what our giftings are. Yeah. until we like, until we do step out, because it's easy if you know, like, okay, like I've been on the Clyde 7 years. 7 years ago, it was way easier to haul stuff than it is 7 years later.
Amen.
but so we need to get some younger people that can help haul
listen
the boxes.
Listen up, young people. Listen up.
Listen up, young folks. We need you. We need your strength. But God will use the skills that you have. Sometimes you don't even know what they are. You know, you just have to be willing to step out and be a part of something and see where the right fit is. I mean, it's obvious. You know, they tried to put me on decor for a year and oh my goodness, that was not my gifting. I did it willingly, but they quickly very took me off of that because they're like, that Henry, she doesn't know what she's doing. But there are people, I mean, they can do all kinds of things and it takes all kinds, but mostly it takes just being willing because most of the stuff that we do isn't rocket science. It's putting together, you know, like the name tags or the flyers or, you know, I mean, it, most of it is not super complicated.
There are a few methods, you know, Karen,
and there are a few things
that you building the basement. Yeah.
Right. But mostly I think that it's just a willing heart and it's so fun to do it amongst the group of women, and you know, it's been a little different every year, but that's been the beauty of it too, is that there's people that are there for longer and there's people that maybe only serve a year or two, but even if it's just that, it was still an amazing year to get to know them and serve alongside them, because there's no better team. There is no better team anywhere.
Okay, ladies.
I think if you have a small group of people or, you know, planning something and planning over and over again, you only get the perspective from those people. And we have all these different women from different walks of life and out there essentially pounding the pavement, if you will, of meeting people and sharing stories. And we bring those stories to the table and say, I think this will impact this woman. Like your friends, like you were saying, Beth, with your mom and your friend Mel and all these things where you say, I want this person to experience Jesus. And when we all bring those people in our minds to the table, we're going to put on an event that speaks to them and it gives a bigger voice instead of just these like three people in an office going, this is what we want to teach this week or whatever. And I think that that really makes a beautiful just perspective, just brings more to the table.
Yeah, I think the culture you created, Willow, by having us study the Bible first, it starts us all off on a completely different mindset because we're no longer thinking like, okay, I'm making name tags. Now it's like, how is this name tag going to teach these women what we're trying to teach them about Christ? Like, who would have thought a name tag could tie into that? But it does. And I think I'm really grateful to you that you have a start there, because that just sets the tone for what we're going to do.
Well, I think it's an interesting point because it's the why behind what we do. We could get together and be like, what are the latest, trendiest worship songs? What are the coolest decor pieces on Pinterest? But I think if what's centering us, and I always talk about like the centrality of Jesus, and if his collisions with people in the New Testament are the thing that we're first colliding with him, and then we're going, okay, out of that outflow, the overflow of that, how can we teach the same thing to other women? That's our mission. That's our passion. That's why we do what we do. That's why we haul a million chairs. That's why we do decor and feel like we suck at it. And then that's why we have a huge trailer and haul these things. That's why we're working so hard. It comes down to like, we genuinely want women to experience Jesus and his hope and his rescue and his love. And I think I can't imagine just getting together and being like, what's the coolest trending thing to do at a conference? Let's start with that, right? One thing I was curious about, you know, you touched on it, Kelly, that we have women who are, you know, have all these different, you talked about careers, but there's women of all ages. There's women who go to Baptist church, Presbyterian church, Pentecostal, non-denominational, Catholic. We've had women who range the gamut, women who are in flux trying to figure out where they're at with church and what church is a good fit for them. And women who, I mean, it's generations. We've had mothers and daughters serving, all of those things. And so it's so interesting because I keep running into women. In fact, I talked to some women who came to our conference that we had recently who showed up. One woman wrote in and she's like, I wasn't going to come because I have trust issues. I've experienced domestic violence. I've been abused. Like, I just don't trust people. I went to your coffee shop, Kelly, and your barista looked at me and she was like, I was at the last conference and my friend invited me and I thought it was going to be super cheesy because I just assume Christian women things are cheesy. And I went and there wasn't anything cheese about it. And I was like, that's the best compliment you can give me.
Yeah.
I'm sort of curious because there are a lot of women who, when they even think about entering a room with other women, like, I don't even mean like a Christian conference, but it can be, but even it can be like, you know, happy hour with people from work. It could be a birthday party. It could be a PTA committee. And it feels really scary. Women have had hard things happen with other women. And so what do you think we try to do to sort of go, hey, you're meant to be here. We want you here. And how do we live out like we're women for women? Like, we're not comparing ourselves. We're not playing comparison games. Like, what do you see us doing that sort of like dismantles that, those trust issues where we're getting these people saying, hey, like, I thought it'd be one way, but it wasn't that at all.
I think for me, it comes back down to that authenticity issue. I mean, I think that we're all being real and we're willing to tackle those hard things. And we're not pretending it's all sunshine and roses and follow Jesus and your life's going to be amazing. We acknowledge that there's going to be hard things that come along, but we can do this together. And I think we show women that we're willing to walk alongside you and do it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Willow, your authenticity is the person, you know, who is always upfront, being vulnerable with your own story. And the women that we get to speak are also doing the same. It's inviting women into that. Or that the whole evening from the very beginning is inviting them into being real and authentic and honest and knowing that they're going to be loved anyway. And that the space, there's room for them anyway, you know, and that they matter.
I think I'm still,
that they're brokenness
matters. I'm still
matters.
Surprised when I run into these people. I'm not surprised that women are nervous about entering rooms with other women, but I just had a conversation with someone I've been getting to know this year, and she asked me to baptize her, which is rad, and I can't wait, and we're going to walk in the cold water soon. But I said, would you want to come to a Collide conference? I mean, she asked me to baptize her. I figured I'd get invited her to a Collide conference. And she's like, oh man. And I could see like her anxiety ticking up. And I was like, what scares you about coming to a Collide conference? And she's like, I just have so much baggage with Christian women from my, you know, experience as a kid. And I was like, tell me more. And she, in her mind, when she thinks of a Christian women's gathering, she thought she would have to come do crafts, do Bible trivia, and sit at a table and share her worst sin with the other ladies at the table. And I was like, oh no, we are not doing any of those things. And she has since come and been, and many times now, and loves it. But isn't that interesting to you guys? I guess maybe I don't have church baggage because I didn't grow up in the church, but isn't it interesting how there's so many assumptions about what a women's gathering could and does look mm-hmm. like?
Well, I mean, I think the sad fact for women is that they have had mm-hmm. hurt. But they also need to be able to find a place where they can have healing from that.
Yeah.
You know, and have, you know, because Willow, I've heard you say, you know, I'm sorry that someone hurt you, but that wasn't Jesus. You know, broken people, you know, when you're wounded, you bleed onto other people, and we acknowledge that. And we say, but we don't want you to stay that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get healing and have fullness in your life and know a Jesus that, you know, feels really bad that someone hurt you in that way in his name.
Mm-hmm. I have so many things I want to ask you guys. I know we don't have all day, but there's a couple more things I want to ask you. Why give your time away to do something like Collide? There's people listening who, wherever they live in whatever city they live, there's plenty of opportunities, but there's also a whole list of like, I'm too busy, I have too much responsibility, I'm not good enough, all the things that keep them from giving their life and time away. Why do you do it over and over and over again, year in and year out?
I'll say it doesn't feel like work to me. It doesn't, it's not a burden. It's so fun. We have such a blast. It's a built-in support and community group of women who, you know, we don't all agree on the same things. We all probably vote potentially differently. We don't talk about that. We talk about Jesus and how we want women to know, a savior who's going to rescue them. That's what we're about. We're not about all the other stuff. And it's just so much fun. I love the agenda, Jesus, and be his hands and feet. And I think that Collide does that through and through. And it's just an amazing, it's not work. It's fun. It's meaningful. It's purposeful. And I mean, isn't that worth our time to make a potential eternal impact? There's no better way to spend my time.
I think I'm proud of it. Like, I'm proud to be a part of Collide, and I like telling people about it and inviting people. And like I said, I grew up in the church. I've been serving essentially in all different ways, and it always did feel like work. And Collide is somewhere where I show up, and yeah, like some days it's sweaty or I feel stretched beyond my comfort zone.
Like right now.
Yeah. Amen. But I'm always proud. Like, I'm proud of what the Jesus that we offer people. And in a world where things are misconstrued sometimes with faith or religion or all those boxes that we try to check, I always know that people are going to be safe when they enter into this space. And I think that's why I keep coming back, because I'm just proud of it. I'm proud of the Jesus that we are showing people, in the loving, caring, gracious Jesus that I serve. And I can't not do it. I love it so much. Yeah. And now my kid serves with me, and she's experiencing the beautiful parts of that, the confidence building, the way that Collide shows women that they're valued and loved, and she gets to be a part of that. And that's really faith building for her. Yeah. And so, and I can tell her to lift heavy things that I don't want to lift because she's one of the youngsters in our group. So it's beautiful, like full circle. I'm just proud of it.
That's awesome. How about you, Holiday? Why do you keep giving your time away?
Yeah, I don't think I can answer better than that. It feels effortless. It's, you know, the verse in the Bible where the disciples are like, where else would we go if we weren't following you? That's how I feel like, where else would I serve? Like, this is the place I want to be.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about people listening who maybe haven't found their place. And I guess I would say, based on what you all just said, if you can find a place where you are passionate and believe in their mission, and you believe that it's being used to change lives, give your time away there, right? Like, find that. I often do feel like it's a lot of work. And when I think about why do I keep doing this, because sometimes I joke with God on a bad day, like, I didn't apply for this job. the thing that keeps me doing it is seeing Jesus change lives. Like, it's just literally that simple. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. When I hear of women whose lives are being changed, I'm just like, I'll do this till I die. You know what I mean? The last question I want to ask you guys is, you've spent years now colliding with Jesus. I know you collided with him before Collide. You just didn't have the terminology, but you've spent years colliding with Jesus. In your experience around here, what is the one thing you'd say, man, like, I have realized this about Jesus and I'm grabbing hold of it and holding on to it. And I'm so glad I learned it from my collisions with him.
I think the value that he sees in us. I don't think I got that before. And I think by being part of Collide and colliding with Jesus over and over and over again and seeing who he really is and what he really says about us, I think it's finally getting in. And I'm finally understanding that that's who he is. He's not this guy up in the sky giving me rules of how I'm supposed to live my life. He's this real person who wants to love me and wants me to love him back. And that's, I think that's been the biggest thing I've taken away from this experience.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just knowing him on such a more personal level through the collisions that he's had that I've heard over and over growing up in church, but experiencing those collisions in a different way, being taught a different way, and really having it turned from the person in the story to how he feels about me and the worth. I mean, Michelle, I would echo that. Just, I feel so much more worthy, I guess, than what I did before, because I'm just hearing about Jesus in a different way. That's just so much more easy to understand, but in terms that just really spoke to my heart. In simple ways. And so, I mean, for me, it's just, it's been a really great just internal blessing for myself.
I've loved learning about how Jesus shows up for people right where they are, and you don't have to pretty up or perfect up or be a certain religion or whatever. Seeing Jesus collide with people has given me a model of how to see everyone as human and meet them in their spaces, and that it's okay for me to go there with them because I'm bringing Jesus with me, and meeting them in that space shows them the kind of God that we serve and that he's loving and compassionate. And it's helped me to have compassion and grace for myself and the ways that I feel like I don't measure up. And I love that. And it's given me so much more confidence to enter in with people who need to hear that message too.
Well, guys, you know, I love serving with you and I love doing life with all of you guys. And I hope someday we'll record this podcast. We'll be on the 20 year.
Yeah.
We'll be fine in form. We'll still be calling out to the young people to get, you know, giddy up, look, come on, right alongside us. But truly, it's going to be, at the end of my life, the greatest thing that I'll ever have gotten to be a part of, besides being, you know,
Rob's wife and Aiden and Bella's mom is serving alongside you guys and doing this work. So I love you guys. I'm so glad you came on and shared a bit of the story. I think for you listening, my greatest hope is that you'll keep colliding with Jesus and that you'll know he can use you to do amazing things right where you are, right how you are. And so just give him your yes. Turn in some of your time, hand over your life, and let him use your life to help others find theirs. We'll catch you next week.